Take, for example, the verses 12 through 18. I'm going to list some of these things that happen, and it's not just coincidence. Father Jacob sends his son Joseph to a place called Shechem, about 50 miles away. And when Joseph goes to Shechem, he finds a stranger in a field, or the stranger finds him. And it just so happens that that stranger had overheard from the 11 brothers that they were going to this place called Dothan. And so the stranger then tells Joseph to go to Dothan. Why is this in here when you read it? Why would that little detail be in the Bible? Then you go on a little further. Joseph goes to Dothan and they plan to take his life. And one of the brothers, Reuben, isn't there in that moment when they come up with this plan. But then he appears out of nowhere just in the nick of time. And they come up with a different plan to save Joseph's life and throw him in the pit. That's kind of weird, kind of coincidental that all these things are falling into place. Then later, just before the brothers leave Dothan, a bunch of Ishmaelites just appear on the scene and he's sold into slavery and taken to Egypt. All those events have to fall into place at just the right time with just the right people in order for the entire world to be saved, actually. Remember, there's a famine. The person that saves the world from the famine is Joseph. All those little things have to fall in place for everything to work. God was there. Yes, he seems silent, but God was actively working behind the scenes. Joseph had a call on his heart. God worked silently behind the scenes to work his redemption, his plan to save the entire planet. That's what it says. I'm just telling you Genesis chapter 50, in a famine. You may see a modern-day Joseph around you. You are a modern-day Joseph, I believe. I ran into one this last week. Figured I'd share with you this story. In the afternoons, I'll take a 10-minute walk just to clear my mind, and sometimes I'll pray. Sometimes I'll make a phone call to some of you as I walk around the neighborhood, and I just look for people and cross paths with them. And I saw a lady from a distance, probably, let's say, 100 feet. I recognized her. I knew her. She doesn't go to this church, but I know her to be a Christian. And I have not seen her throughout the last 2 years. And from a distance, she looked really happy. My gut instinct inside of me said, I want to say hi to her. She looks really happy. I think she probably went through the last couple years and did really well, just looking at how she was walking and her upbeat attitude. Got to talking. She said, Pastor Lucky, I haven't seen you for 2 or 3 years. How are things? And I told her, yeah, they work, doing well. And then I said, how are you doing? She had been through terrible mountains. She shared with me that she went through a divorce at the beginning of the pandemic, a marriage of 30-plus years. She then shared that when she was talking to her adult children about this divorce, she shared that when she was telling them, she was hoping that the person, that the adult children would take her side, that clearly they'd take her side, and they'd be very indignant and upset with the father, with her ex-husband. She went on to explain that the exact opposite happened, that the kids actually took the side of the dad. Then she explained a few more mountains, and as I was hearing this, I was shocked by what I was looking at because she was not crushed. She saw molehills. Yes, it hurt, but the way that she described it, it was as if God was behind the scenes mapping a course for her. What she really was telling me was that she saw herself as called by God through everything to get her to the place that she was in. My friends, how do we persevere in tough times? We do look to Jesus, of course. He persevered, was never tempted. But my friends, there's something else we can do. We can recognize that we're called. You are called. God has a high view of each one of you. You are his child. You are forever God's. We don't need to live life with a short-term view. Mountains are bigger and we'll never overcome them. This allows us to have a long-term view. God has good in mind for you. God has your eternal future mapped out for you. You can rest securely in him. Before we say our creed here, let us offer up a prayer just about that. Dear Lord, today I pray a simple prayer that you would affirm in our hearts our calling. You've called each person in the waters of baptism as your son came out and was deemed your son. Also in the waters of baptism, each person here that's been baptized was also called your special child. Lord, place that calling on our hearts for comfort reasons so that we can rest securely no matter what we face in these days. Give us that Joseph perseverance to make molehills out of our mountains. Amen.